सद उद्भव स्थान निरोध लीलया गृहिता शक्ति त्रितया देहिनाम अंतर्भव अयुनुपल अंतर्भवाय अनुपल अनुपलक्ष वर्तमने। श्री शुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषस्य भूयसे सदुद्भव स्थान निरोध लीलया गृहित शक्ति तितयाय देहिनाम अंतर्भवाय अनुपलक्ष वर्तमने। श्री शुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषाय भूयसाय सदुद्भव स्थान निरोध लीलया गृहिता शक्ति तितयाय देहिनाम अंतर्भवाय अनुपलक्ष वर्तमने। श्री शुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषाय भूयसे सदुद्भव स्थान निरोध लीलया गृहिता शक्ति तितया देहिनाम अंतर्भवायानुपलक्ष वर्तमने। मताजी श्री शुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषाय भूयसे सदुद्भव स्थान निरोध लीलया गृहिता शक्ति तितयाय देहिनाम अंतर्भवाय अनुपलक्ष कल्पते वर्तमने। श्री शुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषाय भूयसे स्थान निरोध वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्री शुक उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड नम ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस परस्मै द सुप्रीम पुरुषाय पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडेड भूयसे अंटू द कंप्लीट होल सदुद्भवः द क्रिएशन ऑफ द मटीरियल वर्ल्ड स्थान इट्स मेंटेनेंस निरोध एंड इट्स वाइंडिंग अप लीलया बाय द पास टाइम्स ऑफ गृहित हैविंग एक्सेप्टेड शक्ति पावर त्रितयाय थ्री मोड्स देहिनाम ऑफ ऑल हु पोजेसेस मटीरियल बॉडीज अंतभवाय अंटू ही हु रिसाइड्स विद इन अनुपलक्षया इनकंसीवेबल वर्तमाने वन हु हैज सच वेज। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukhdev Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of the material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Purport. This material world is a manifestation of the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. The Supreme Lord for the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu and Shankara, Shiva. As Vishnu, he enters into every body materially created. As Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he enters into every universe. And as Shirodakshai Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Shri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu Tattvas, is addressed here as Param Purushaha or Purushottama, as described in Bhagavad Gita 15.18. He is the complete whole. The Purushavataras are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him. Because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead, he is called Anupalakshaya Vartmane, the Lord of Inconceivable Way or Bhakti Yoga. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uthapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vasyata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seek all your blessings to speak on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we will speak on today, the most auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. We will try to share some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from the fourth chapter of second canto, which is the name of the chapter is the process of creation. The first text to tenth verse, Maharaj Parikshit further inquires from Sukhdev Goswami, and from text 11 to 18, Sukhdev Goswami, before answering Maharaj Parikshit's question, he offers obeisances to the Lord and glorifies the Lord and takes the Lord's blessings. Actually, after hearing Sukhdev Goswami, conclusive instructions to always focus his mind on Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj has already started doing that, you know. In second canto, Parikshit Sukhdev Goswami, when Parikshit Maharaj asked him what a dying man should do, the Sukhdev Goswami tells him, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavya Smriti Chetabhayam. He said, Srotavya, speak about Krishna, remember Krishna, chant the glories of Krishna. In this, when you do this, you will be Ichet Abhayam. You will be free from this fear of birth and death. So here, Parikshit Maharaj was already an exalted devotee, faithfully concentrated his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. And he was always remembering Krishna. So remembering Krishna is both the goal and the path to attain the goal. So here Sukhdev Goswami, actually just in this text 1 of the 4th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, the whole Vedic adventure is to draw our attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Krishna, without any deviation. That is the actually Vedic adventure. That the whole thing is on just to focus our mind. How to focus our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, from this text 11, Sukhdev Goswami starts humbly remembering the Lord, the Creator who reciprocates with every desire of great souls and also every individual. So, Sukhdev Goswami humbly accepts that he has no ability to answer these questions independently. Of course, that is Sukhdev Goswami's humility. But he is showing mankind how to follow scriptures. So he therefore remembers the Lord, the master of his senses, and prays for the ability to reply Sukhdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj's questions. So in this text 11, Srila Prabhupada details a pure devotee's, describes a pure devotee's mood, how he remembers the Lord. And this text 12 is continuation of that prayer. The devotee of the Lord, while delivering any speech and describing the transcendental attitudes of the Lord, does not think that he can do anything independently on his own. So, this text speaks of the inconceivable, powerful Lord. How the Lord is inconceivable. We cannot conceive the Lord with our ordinary mind and senses and intellect or our intelligence. Or even by studying, we cannot understand the Lord. The Lord is completely inconceivable by ordinary mankind or even elevated personalities sometimes. But here the Lord is very reciprocal with his countless servitors. The Lord is always very reciprocal. Just like a kind father, you know, a father, he always is very favorable upon his son. So like that, this Lord is always very favorable to the devotees. He also punishes the demons, but still he is, even his punishment is mercy to the demons. He is very kind to everyone because he is the complete existence for every individual existence. So this way, there are 8 prayers from here, which Sukhdev Goswami is speaking. I think the second prayer is tomorrow, 13th verse. Our Radhika Raman Prabhu will take the class tomorrow. So, he will speak elaborately on that. Today we are on this most auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. So, I thought we will speak a little bit on this. Srila Prabhupada appeared in 1896 in Calcutta. It is said under a jackfruit tree. And Srila Prabhupada performed his pastimes till 1977. Actually, it is November 14th, date-wise, when he left his body. He went into the spiritual realm. And then, now it is Thiti-wise, it is today. So actually, Thiti-wise, it is today. So we are celebrating today. Actually, in Antalila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sei Bhakta Danya Yena Chadiye Prabhura Charana. Sei Prabhura Danya Yena Chadiye Nija Jana. Glorious is that master who never leaves his devotees. Glorious is that devotee who never leaves the lotus feet of the Lord. And glorious is that Lord who never abandons his servant. Durdeva sevaka yadi yaha anya sthane sei thakura dhanya tare kule dhariyane. It is said, unfortunately, if by chance If a servant falls down and goes away elsewhere, but the glorious master is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair, it is said. So, of course, Prabhupada was glorious and all his devotees, disciples were more glorious, seems like. So, Giriraj Maharaj gives a very nice analogy for this. He says, when a rich man's son has some listing with his father or some fight or whatever you call it, misunderstanding, and he leaves the father's house and goes. And he is like a vagabond on the street because he does not have anything. But actually he is a very rich man's son, say Tata or Birla. So one of the friend of the father sees that child on the road, that young boy on the road. So he feels very compassionate for him. So he has three choices. One is to go and tell the father that your son is here. Second is to tell the son, okay, your father is a rich man, why you are doing all this? Go back to your father. And third is to give him a lift, make him sit in the car and drop him at his father's house and put them together. Okay. Similarly, we have left the lotus feet of the Lord and we have come here to enjoy our senses or whatever reason, envious of the Lord. And Prabhupada is that merciful friend of the Lord who has come to uplift suffering humanity. There is no other purpose. He just came to show his mercy to this fallen condition, to our like fallen condition souls like us, and uplift suffering humanity. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is immeasurable and unfathomable. Who can take the courage to measure that great ocean? It is said. It is not possible to dip into that great ocean, but its sweet mellows flavor attracts everybody's mind, our mind, my mind. I therefore stand on the shore of this ocean to try to taste a drop of it. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada's pastimes are oceanic. Prabhupada just did for 11 years. 1965, he went to US, to America, until 1977. That is around 11 years. Prabhupada performed innumerable pastimes. And everything was just to uplift suffering humanity. There was nothing to do with his personal self. And even today, all his disciples who have associated with him are writing books and books on those pastimes. So you can imagine what pastimes Srila Prabhupada must have performed. So it is said, Prabhupada's pastime was oceanic. His A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada was an empowered preacher. He was not just a preacher, he was a teacher, he was a warrior, he was a fighter. He didn't accept anything which was not to be accepted. So all his pastimes, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are all oceanic. All his pastimes of his confidential servitor Srila Prabhupada was also as oceanic as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servitors. So Srila Prabhupada actually fearlessly uprooted these concepts of atheism, pseudo-atheism, you know, nihilism and scientific word jugglery. People do that in the name of religion. But he boldly countered all these people. And he uplifted countless souls back to Godhead. So actually, Burijan Prabhu writes in his book, My Glorious Spiritual Master, he says, the two dhams, namely Navadip and Vrindavan, descended with Srila Prabhupada. He writes, within these dhams reside Sri Sri Gaur Nitai and Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Whoever met Srila Prabhupada also met the Lord, knew their fragrance and heard their desire. Whoever met Srila Prabhupada, actually Srila Prabhupada was so much full of Krishna, whoever met Srila Prabhupada met Krishna with Srila Prabhupada. That was Srila Prabhupada's glory. One day Bhurijan Babu was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in 1972 in Manila, in Philippines. They had a program in Hotel International, Intercontinental Grand Ballroom. They had a program. And Srila Prabhupada was waiting at that entrance, that whatever reception. And there was a paper toy, So Prabhupada was it was a toy with a paper flag on a wooden stick. So Prabhupada was just playing with it. So when it was playing, suddenly it broke. Prabhupada started laughing. He said, "You see, this is the nature of this material world. Nothing is permanent here." And then Bhurijan Prabhu was there. So he asked Bhurijan Prabhu, "I have a desire. Can you please help me in fulfilling my desire?" So Bhurijan Prabhu was really humbled. He said, "Prabhupada, what Prabhupada is asking me? Prabhupada can do so many things." So Prabhupada said, "So normally everybody has a desire. You must hear what is Prabhupada's desire now." Prabhupada is telling, "My desire is that all living entities in this universe go back to Godhead." What a desire. What desire we have? A house, a bungalow, some business, some money, good woman. But then here Prabhupada's desire is to uplift suffering humanity and send them back home, back to Godhead. And then he's asking Bhurijan Prabhu, "Can you please help me with this desire?" What was Srila Prabhupada's desire? To fulfill his compassionate desire, Srila Prabhupada actually depended on Krishna. And he was very grateful to all his disciples who helped him in those initial days. So whenever some devotee, left for a moment and then he came back after some time, Prabhupada was very grateful to him. Prabhupada was always express his gratitude to his disciples for helping him in this desire of, serving mankind. So Prabhupada, to fulfill his compassionate desire, Prabhupada was always dependent on Krishna. And for that he organized this wonderful institute of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he tirelessly wrote those books of these Bhagavatam books, which revealed us the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. And he distributed these books worldwide. He actually stayed overnight. He never slept. He hardly slept for a couple of hours. And overnight he stayed awake and translated these books. And he trained his teachers and all his students, all his disciples to preach this message. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is very powerful, pure like a sun. And we can try to speak. It is said the sky is vast. And a bird can try to fly. How much the bird can fly? Whatever power the wings has, that much it can cover the sky. But it cannot cover the whole sky. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada's pastimes are oceanic. It cannot be covered by half an hour or 1 hour, Or it even cannot be covered by... So many of his disciples are still writing books on the interactions, couple of years interaction they had with Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's life of magnanimity to uplift suffering humanity, Radha and Krishna always resided in Srila Prabhupada's pure heart. And whoever met Srila Prabhupada, or wherever Srila Prabhupada went, that place converted or transformed into a dham. And all those people could see, whoever associated with Srila Prabhupada in his association, they could see Radha and Krishna within Srila Prabhupada's heart. Prabhupada was very considerate with people. He already tolerated all the ignorance of his disciples or guests. But with himself, he was very strict. He followed everything. He was book Bhagavat. Like you have book Bhagavat, you have person Bhagavat. He was person Bhagavat. But he was very compassionate and accommodating to all his disciples and all the guests who came. So actually, Prabhupada sometimes would very strongly speak against the scientists. Actually, it is not that Srila Prabhupada was against the scientists, but he was against the weapons they had created for mass destruction. Srila Prabhupada was completely against that. He always showed compassion to the scientists, but he never accepted their science of, because they, whatever they created was not for service or not for It was basically for mass destruction, you know, all those weapons, bombs and all they created. So one Srila Prabhupada was sitting in one farm and he said, you know, see this beautiful garden. But this scientist will drop a bomb and destroy this whole garden. And then Prabhupada said, but they cannot bring it back. They cannot recreate it. But he said, Krishna is so magnanimous. Huh? In winter, all the trees' leaves will fall off. And in summer, again they will come on their own. That is Krishna's creation. Krishna is fantastic. Krishna is so wonderful, with so much power that he has so much more power than the scientists have. He can make all the trees leafless in winter and again bring them back, bring back all the leaves in summer. Even a leaf from a tree cannot fall without the sanction of Krishna, it is said. So actually, like I said, he was not against the scientists. He was very compassionate to them, but he was against this mode of destruction, destructing spiritual things. Srila Prabhupada was a very expert teacher. He could very nicely and in a very simple way explain a very complicated science. Srila Prabhupada knew his material so thoroughly that he could debate or talk with anybody, confront anybody. And he could any complicated subject, he would very simply and clearly explain it. That was Srila Prabhupada's this thing. Sometimes people will debate, you know, about Shastra. He had so much faith in Shastra, he said, I only accept the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes, you know, like one afternoon, one devotee, one person came to Srila Prabhupada, and he approached Srila Prabhupada. I think it was Trivikram Prabhu, Trivikram Das. He said, okay, there is this debate going on in the material, in everywhere that Kali Yuga, Shastra is saying Kali Yuga has very short span of life. But scientists and doctors are claiming, science is claiming that they can increase the lifespan. They have already increased the lifespan. So Srila Prabhupada actually denied this claim. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever your science is saying, but we have a very simple point. We just accept the authority of the Shastras. Logic and direct experience, although useless in proving Shastric conclusion, and of themselves imperfect methods of uncovering absolute conclusion, but cannot lead us to the absolute truth. When logic and experience conflict with Shastra, Srila Prabhupada always accepted the Shastric conclusion. And he trained his disciples also to always accept Shastric conclusion. Of course, there are a lot of pastimes. There is this, one reporter came and asked Prabhupada, what is this sudden change that all the Western people are trying to follow Eastern religion? So Prabhupada, in a way, accepted it, but then he said, okay, there is nothing as Eastern and Western. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead of the whole universe. So what is Eastern and Western in this? And then he said, then he suddenly said, all these Western preachers and people came to me and told me, you change your dress. You wear coat and suit so that you can attract more people. So Prabhupada said, why should I change my suit and coat? But see, your people have started wearing dhoti. And all these girl disciples have started wearing saris. They are looking so nice in Eastern tradition. And then he said, now the demand for sari in the Western world has increased because of me. So Prabhupada would not very easily accept things like that. So there is this chronology of, you know, what Prabhupada did throughout his life. 1986, Prabhupada appeared in this material world as Abhay Charan Day, 1st September 1896 in Kolkata, West Bengal. to, you know, his father was Sri Gaur Mohan De and Srimati Ranjini Devi was his mother. In 1918, Prabhupada entered into married life, marriage with Radharani Datta. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One of his friend, Narendra, took him to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there, actually Srila Prabhupada, mentally or within his heart, completely surrendered at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And in 1925, Srila Prabhupada went first time to Vrindavan, to the place of his worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna. And then in 1933, actually Prabhupada took initiation. That is, after 11 years, he met Bhaktivedanta Thakur. Srila Prabhupada took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Saraswati Thakur. And then in 1935, again he visited Vrindavan to meet his spiritual master. And this time, his spiritual master gave him two very essential instructions. He said, whenever you get money, you print books and build temples. In 1945, Srila Prabhupada started publishing Bhakti, that Back to Godhead magazine. 1947, Srila Prabhupada received the title Bhaktivedanta Swami. Receiving the honorary title of Bhaktivedanta from his god brothers in Gaudiya Math. In 1959, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas and he was awarded sannyas, the renounced order of life, by Srimad Bhakti Prajna Keshav Goswami Maharaj. In 1965, Prabhupada arrives to America, to US. That was the instruction given by his spiritual master. He said, first time when he met, 1922, he told, you are an English-speaking boy. You must preach this message to the English-speaking people. That first message, Srila Prabhupada took into his life, took it as his life and soul. And everything Srila Prabhupada did was basically focused on that first instruction Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him. So then what happened in America is glorified every day today in every temple, in thousands of temples, what Srila Prabhupada did. In 1966, Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Where he incorporated it? In a small matchless gift shop. Prabhupada knew what is going to happen in the next 11 years. It is not that he created that and then he incorporated ISKCON. No, before only incorporated, in 1966. 1968, Prabhupada printed Macmillan book copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then millions of books were distributed all over the world. 1970, Prabhupada formed the Governing Body Commission, which is the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON after Srila Prabhupada. 1972, Prabhupada established BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. 1974, Chaitanya Charitamrita was completed, translated into English. In only 2 months, Prabhupada did that. Nobody can imagine how Prabhupada did that. 1975, Srila Prabhupada opened Sri Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. And 1977, Srila Prabhupada ended his pastimes here and went back to the spiritual world. So that is a very painful episode to describe. It is all available on YouTube and all that. I have not yet seen that passing away of Srila Prabhupada. Maybe I don't have the courage or the strength to see it. In 1977, Prabhupada was very sick. He was in Bombay. But still he had stopped taking food and all that. And he would hardly have, you know, quarter cup of orange juice per day. So his body was just bones left. He had no flesh. And yet he would insist that I want to go to London to preach. That was Prabhupada's enthusiasm. So at that time, there was one pandit One Pancharatrika Pandit from Bangalore. His name was Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya. That time it was mainly Brahmin priest. They would not travel by flight and all that. But he specially took a flight and came to Bombay to meet Srila Prabhupada. So that was a great thing, you know. And he was a big priest. So he wanted to have a private meeting with Srila Prabhupada. So of course devotees refused. Kare, abhi aisa nahi mil sakta hai. So but then he insisted. He said, because he had come, they allowed him. And then they had a private meeting. So there is this conversation. I would just like to read it. Sampat Kumar is telling Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, I am feeling very pained that you are suffering like this. So Srila Prabhupada is on his bed, you know, in his broken words, he says, the whole world is meant for suffering. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Then Sampat Kumar says, but still Swamiji, there are so many people depending on you. So when you suffer, they also suffer because they love you so much. So then Prabhupada said, what can I do? So then Bhattacharya said, Prabhupada, I want to tell you something. So he actually had come to give Prabhupada some information. So he said, now you are here living, preaching, doing such wonderful activities. But in Vrindavan, your devotees have made your statue, your vigraha, and they are worshipping your vigraha. So he said, in Vrindavan, they have your deity on the altar, and all kind of people are coming and praying to it, offering flowers, and when you are still living. So then he says, he quotes from Shastra, he says, according to Pancharatrika, when the Acharya is living, if he puts his deity on the altar, then all the suffering people come and, you know, share, have come to his body. So the Acharya has to take all the suffering. So you please tell your disciples to remove that deity for the time being. And they can worship it after you leave this planet. They can worship your deity. So Srila Prabhupada told him, thank you for this information. And then Srila Prabhupada says, I am aware of all this. I know I came here to take their suffering. I have come to this planet only to take sufferings of people. Bhattacharya was completely shocked. He was taken aback. He said, how can this? I thought I am giving you some information, but you already know all this and still you are doing. Prabhupada said, yes. And then he said, do you have anything else to say? So Bhattacharya is completely shocked. He says, Prabhupada, what to say? I am in shock. I am just a simple priest. I just came to share because of my affection for you. So then Prabhupada says, even when I leave, I will keep continuing to take their suffering and make them free so that they can focus their mind in chanting the holy name of Krishna. So that everybody can focus their mind on chanting Hare Krishna. I will take all their suffering. So Srila Prabhupada now for 10,000 years, Srila Prabhupada's deity, of course it does not mean we give our suffering to Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada is so magnanimous. All around the world, Prabhupada is sitting to take people's suffering. He is really there accepting our prayers, our obeisances and our suffering. So let us hope that this episode we remember and always keep in our mind. We had one devotee, I remember, of course, he would not like if I tell his name. He came here for the first time. This was in the early 90s. And when he came here, he saw Srila Prabhupada and he could actually see Prabhupada. He said, I never felt this was a vigraha or a murti. I could see Srila Prabhupada's presence and I offered my obeisances. And then for many months he came, he felt Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. So it's not that Prabhupada is just left. Prabhupada is still here giving his darshan to people who are sincere. So even in our Bhaktivedanta hospital, many people have experienced Srila Prabhupada physically sitting there and giving darshan. So like that, there are innumerable pastimes. Yesterday, Radhanath Swami Maharaj gave a very nice class in Jagannath Puri. More than 10,000 devotees are attending that yatra. Srila Radhanath Swami made a very powerful statement. He said, how we approach Krishna in the form of his holy name, is how Krishna will reciprocate. Recognizing the value of each moment is how we express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is our, of course there are a lot of pastimes of Srila Prabhupada's morning walk. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I think the time is over, right? Just give me five minutes more. Of course, there are a lot of Srila Prabhupada's morning walk pastimes, which I think I can't cover. But I will tell two pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was once walking, morning walk on a beach, and he had Brahmananda Swami. Brahmananda Swami is a very huge personality. And Srila Prabhupada was walking, and suddenly Srila Prabhupada saw a crab in the ocean, in the water. So Srila Prabhupada said, Brahmanand, catch that crab. And Brahmanand immediately dived. Brahmanand was a huge personality. He immediately dived into the ocean to catch the crab. And the crab slipped into the ocean. Brahmanand could not catch the crab. And then he got up, Prabhupada, no, I could not catch. So Prabhupada started laughing loudly. Prabhupada said, such a big Brahmananda, you can't catch such a small crab. And then Prabhupada said, why you could not catch that crab? Because that crab has taken shelter of the ocean. That's why you could not catch him. Similarly, when we take shelter of Krishna, Maya cannot catch us. So Krishna's lotus feet is the only shelter, Srila Prabhupada said. Of course, I'm getting tempted to speak so many pastimes. Just now today when we were doing seva, we heard, Srila Prabhupada said, Sevan mukhe I jivado. Srila Prabhupada said, the most difficult thing to control is the tongue. But if you can control the tongue, all your other senses can be controlled, Srila Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada said, it is a very simple process. Just control your tongue. Tongue has two activities. One is to eat and one is to speak. Tongue has two activities. So Prabhupada said, you can perfect your life just by doing two things which the tongue does. To eat Krishna Prasad. Whatever you eat, you offer to Krishna and then accept it as Prasad. Otherwise you don't eat anything that Krishna has not eaten. And then second he said, don't do prajalpa, don't do gossip. Huh? Speak about Krishna. Use this tongue to speak about Krishna. Sevan mukhe I jivadu. Just engage your tongue in serving the Lord and the Lord will be revealed. Two things we need to do. Chant Hare Krishna and eat Krishna Prasad. Don't eat anything that is not eaten by Krishna. These two principles, Krishna will be within your grip. Krishna will be within your grip if you do these two things. Yes, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada actually normally preaching mission propagates renunciation. Because there is a lot of missionary work involved. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized on family life. Srila Prabhupada said, we need married couples who can dedicate their life. Even married couple can attain moksha, Srila Prabhupada said. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Even married couple can attain moksha if they live in accordance with spiritual principles or religious principles. So he said, artha is economic development. Kama is sense gratification. All this can be spiritualized when a religious culture honors and supports family life or married couple and their children. So Srila Prabhupada thought many things like this, you know. One thing Prabhupada said is never waste time. Never waste time, never waste food, never waste your facilities, and never waste whatever material Krishna has given you. Never waste it. Use it for upliftment of suffering humanity, Srila Prabhupada said. So I will end with, and there are these four principles Prabhupada always spoke. If you can use these four principles in your life, you can perfect your life. The four principles is, purity is the force. By sadhana, you can become pure. Purity is the force. Books are the basis. Books, Srila Prabhupada has written Swadhyaya. If you just read Srila Prabhupada's books, you can perfect your life. Utility is the principle. Whatever you have, you use it in Krishna's service. Don't think of what I have. I have little, I want more. Thoda hai, thode ki zarurat hai. Kabhi khatam hi nahi hoga zarurat. So whatever you have, use it in Krishna's service. And preaching is the essence. Whatever you have learned from all these three things, preach. Give it to mankind at large. Of course, I will end with one pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was going to South America in a plane. And his two servants were with him. They were carrying his prasad, you know. Whatever, puff rice and peanuts, something like that. And Shruta Kirti Bibi was there. Srila Prabhupada was traveling with Srila Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada had this thing and he was about to give the remaining to Shruta Kirti Prabhu, his servant, whatever remaining was there. So suddenly one air hostess was there. She came there. She got very attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And she suddenly put her hand in that puff rice and she had that puff rice from Srila Prabhupada's plate. Of course, Prabhupada had finished and he was giving it to Shruta Kirti Prabhu. So Prabhupada looked at her and smiled. So that means Prabhupada gave his mercy to her. Shruta Kirti Prabhu was completely shocked with what happened. And then she suddenly came to Prabhupada and said, why you all get your own stuff? We can serve you. So she came and asked Prabhupada, what do you want? Prabhupada said, hot milk. And then, she was resourceful. She came and she got hot milk and she made three glasses. Two for the servants and one for Prabhupada. She got three glasses of hot milk. Prabhupada had it and Prabhupada was very happy with her. And then the second part of the story, Shruta Kirti Prabhu just few years back went to South America for some preaching purpose. And one of the devotees there narrated one pastime that he went for book distribution. He went for book distribution and he met one lady. He rang a bell to a house and he met one lady. So he entered her house and gave her books. And then he went and saw all those books in Portuguese was there with her, you know. And she was studying Srila Prabhupada's books. So he asked her about her and he said, she said, I am this air hostess. And she narrated this whole pastime of being with Srila Prabhupada. And she said, I got so attracted to this personality, I purchased his books and I started reading his books. And his books mentioned chanting, so I started chanting. And then she said, he gave two things I understood. One is chanting and one is offering bhoga to Krishna and eating mahaprasad. So she did these two things and she's a devotee now. So just by having Srila Prabhupada's mahaprasad, she perfected her life. So Shruta Kirti Prabhu met that lady. And of course he recognized her maybe because he was also there in the flight. So that was the power of prasadam. That was the power of Srila Prabhupada's association. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Hare Krishna.